This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 and Score. It is a delight to welcome in our man in Vegas by way of the Bay Area, Mr. Joe Fortenbaugh. 95.7 The Game and the Sharp 600 podcast. And Joe, I know we talk a lot about gambling, but that's just what you do, not who you are. No, that's not true. Good morning, Joe.
Joe. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. Bulls at Warriors. I'd imagine that the phone lines are packed. We got a huge game tonight at Oracle.
Well, it's a makeup. And I mean, Bulls, the Bulls owe them one.
It's a revenge game, Joe. We're calling it here in Chicago.
Yeah, big spot here for the Bulls. Yeah. At least you're going to avoid Boogie Cousins. I mean, analyzing this guy's return date for the last 4 months has been, shall we say, trying. But that's what we do in Sports Talk Radio. We find all the great stories, and we try to dissect all of them. Warriors are 15-point favorites tonight. I'll tell you what, it's always tough to bet against Golden State, but they're only covering at about a 40% clip this season. They're one of the worst cover teams in the National Basketball Association. If you go back and you look at the start of this run 5 years ago until now, each season they have gotten worse and worse against the spread because they've become so popular and so overvalued. So not saying you should play the Bulls tonight, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a backdoor cover at 15 points.
How much did you enjoy the Eagles victory, Eagles fan?
Well, you know, that's a tough question to ask in this particular radio interview.
That's why I asked it, Joe.
I'll say this. There are teams that, and everyone knows this, no matter who you're a diehard of, especially when you're from a great sports city like a Chicago or a Boston or a Philadelphia, you've got the teams you hate growing up. And for me, it was always the New York teams, and it's always been Dallas. I hate the Cowboys. The Bears are a team that, since I was born in 80, have always been an interesting story. Walter Payton was someone I was always a big fan of. Jim McMahon, Dicka, obviously the personality is larger than life. And then working all the way through, like the Eagles and the Bears used to have some good playoff matchups in the McNabb-Urlacher days. So the Bears have always been a team, and this isn't just a pander to the city. It's always been a city I've liked, and it's always been a team that they don't rub you the wrong way, not when you're from Philadelphia. So I'm watching this game last week. Obviously, I like the Bears and the teaser plays. I like the Bears to cover the spread. My point for a while has been, and I'm like on the wrong side of this argument in Philadelphia, they won their first Super Bowl ever last season. Like, to me, that's house money. Everybody on that team is on house money. Everybody eats for free. No room for criticism the next year. And yet, Doug Peterson came under so much criticism before the season started. The team, the players have been criticized. I couldn't believe how aggressive everyone got with these guys after they finally gave everyone what they wanted. So coming into the playoffs, I was just happy that they were there. If they were going to lose to Chicago, the Bears were a great story with the defense, with Khalil Mack, all that stuff. But to see the way that happened late, I'll give you a story. So my mom is in town helping with the second kid we just had about 6 weeks ago. And the older son, and I've told this story before, he's going to be 2 next month. He has been a real serious good luck charm in gambling. He was born Super Bowl weekend when I laid the points with the Patriots. They went down, 28-3, and then came back to win. But the night he was born, Golden State covered the spread, and I bet just to test him. This other one, when he was born, November 29th, the Warriors were playing as well. I bet that game to test the spread, the Warriors covered too. So it's like, all right, maybe I got a couple good luck charms. So during the Bears game, my mom's this diehard Eagle fan as well, and late in that game, she's holding my youngest son, Wyatt, who's only, 6 weeks old, and again, not to open up a wound here, but when Cody Parkey was lining up for the field goal, we were both rubbing his little bald head for good luck. And, we all know the outcome there. And Yeah. So, I mean, here's what we'll do. We obviously got to put the Bear loss behind us, but if the baby is going to project any more good luck, that's why gambling exists, because at least we could try to make some money to make ourselves feel better moving forward.
That's why you have kids.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So, I got to tell you, there is an element here. I mean, this could be Nick Foles' last game with the Eagles, right? There's no way they're going to bring him back. They got their quarterback of the future. This could be the ultimate goodbye. And obviously, they got beaten pretty good down there, and they go back. And you talk about, you know, the Bulls-o and the Golden State Warriors won. Well, certainly, you would think that the Eagles want to have a different performance and a different outing against this team. I mean, I don't know. What is it? 8 points? It's the biggest spread of the weekend.
Big number. You see 8-point spreads in really bad scenarios, or you see 8-point spreads with an injured quarterback, or bad teams traveling to good teams. An 8-point spread is an absolute monster here. Now, that's not to say jump on the Eagles, because the Saints are well-rested and they play very good football in the Voodoo Dome. But it's been 3 weeks since the Saints played football. You got to remember, they had the bye, and they also rested their starters in Week 17. And the last thing you want to do is start slow against the Eagles and give them that reason to believe that they can compete with you. I think the big problem for Philadelphia in this game is that they're down to like their 6th and 7th starting corner. They are absolutely depleted in the secondary, and the Bears were able to take advantage of that late in the game. Trubisky had a couple real nice throws to set up that field goal opportunity. They should have been doing more of that earlier in the game. They should have been a little bit more aggressive going after those guys. And I think that's exactly what Drew Brees is going to do here, and that's going to be the biggest problem. Now, flip side, the last time these two got together, what was it, 48-7? It was an embarrassment, but that was Carson Wentz, not Nick Foles. So what I'm thinking here is that obviously the Saints are going to be a very popular 6-point teaser play. A lot of people are probably going to tie them up with the Rams by knocking the Rams from 7 down to 1. I find that to be a relatively safe play this weekend, but more on that later. I would look to the over in this Saints-Eagles game. It's sitting around 51. I think the Eagles are going to find a way to get theirs. Since Foles took over, 4 straight wins, 4 straight covers. The offense looks pretty solid. Nick Foles ranks number one in the NFL in quarterback efficiency when facing pressure. Even the Saints coming after him, the crowd noise, nothing really rattles this guy. You know, you've got people that are born that are excitable, eccentric people, and then you have people that genetically are just very cool, very calm, very difficult to rattle. And Foles is one of those guys. He's just a cool customer. I mean, he's got a whole lot going on outside of football that he's trying to focus on. Parenthood, you know, to him, it really is just a game. He's not playing for money. He's not really playing for legacy. He's just living his life and doing his thing. And that kind of translates onto the field. So I would say that I think the Eagles are going to find a way to move the ball down the field. They're going to find a way to put points on the board. I do not doubt New Orleans' offense in this situation. I think a lot of times you hear about square plays being overplays. 51 points, though, I think both these teams light up the scoreboard. In this particular game, the over would be what I'd be looking to play.
Joe, looking at the AFC, I think it's become almost a trendy pick to look at the Colts and see an upset possibility. I like the way they run the ball. The Chiefs obviously give up 5 yards per rush, but it's still the Patrick Mahomes. You never quite know what you're going to get out of a first-time playoff starter, and yet he's the MVP. How do you see that game, and what are you thinking about the Colts' chances?
Again, this might be, and I said this last week with Colts-Texans, this might be the toughest game for me to handicap of the week. The Chiefs have not won a playoff game in Kansas City since Joe Montana threw for 276 yards in a 27-24 wild card win over Pittsburgh, January 8th, 1994. That is the last time they won at home. And Andy Reid has a history of coming up short in big spots. I mean, I saw it for years in Philadelphia. And then last year against Tennessee, they melted down. 5 years ago in Indianapolis, they had the monster second half lead and they blew that. Granted, none of that involved Patrick Mahomes, but I can't get that out of my mind. If it was a small sample size, like Sean McVay losing last year to the Falcons, that's one thing. But Reed has a history of this. Reed has a history of looking good and then throwing it away late. So that's the one thing in the back of my mind I have to take take into consideration here. I'm also worried about Kansas City's defense. And then you got this Colts team that's won 10 of 11. They can play quality defense. They have a good quarterback. Frank Reich might be a first-year head coach, but he knows Andy Reid. Remember, he's from Andy Reid's staff. He was there with Doug Peterson, then went over with Doug Peterson to Philadelphia. These guys are all familiar with one another. So I don't know if the Chiefs are going to have a whole lot of wrinkles in this game. And not only that, if you've got temperatures down in the 30 degrees, Tyreek Hill and all that speed, are these guys going to be able to blow away the Indianapolis defense? That's a concern for me as well. We've seen underdogs cashing like crazy. Underdogs have cashed 10 straight games in the playoffs dating back to last year. Dogs were 4-0 against the spread last weekend, and the Colts are the really popular team here, catching about 5.5. What I'm looking at is playing the over on the Indianapolis team total. Based on the total for this game and the spread, Indy's over-under should be about 26 points. I think they can get to 27 or more. We saw what they did in Houston last week. On the road this season, they're averaging somewhere around 30 points per game, 29.8 points per game. I don't trust Kansas City's defense to get a lot of stops. If this turns into a shootout, that's good for us because the over-under is 57 points. If the Chiefs look fantastic, that means the Colts are going to be throwing the ball very late into the game. That's good for us. And overall, the Chiefs' defense is highly questionable. That's good for us. The only thing that worries me is that the Colts come out, establish a running game, eat up 7-8 minutes on the clock, and Kansas City never finds a rhythm. That's the only way we get burned here, in my opinion. So I'm going to play over the Colts' team total of 26 points.
So what are your exact plays then? We haven't been through everything. What is it that you're actually going to play, or what are you recommending here?
All right, so over 51.5 points, Eagles-Saints, we already hit on that, yep. And over 26 points for the Colts as a team in the game against the Chiefs. For the other two matchups, there's nothing I love this weekend. Like last weekend, loved the Chargers at Baltimore. This weekend, I'm going to side with two picks in the Charger-Patriot game. I'm going to play the Patriots in the first half. That should be somewhere around New England -2. And I'm going to play New England for the game somewhere around -4. Now, this is difficult to do because the Chargers were my Super Bowl pick before the season started. And I've been riding with them quite a bit down the stretch. But I hate a couple things here. There are two things I really hate about the Chargers. Number one, the situation. So they win, more games than anybody in the AFC this year. They tie with Kansas City, but they lose the tiebreaker. So their reward for the best record in the AFC is a 3,000-mile trip to Baltimore to play at 10 a.m. their time against the Ravens in the wild card round. They win that game. They fly 3,000 miles back to Los Angeles. Now they got to take a trip all the way to Foxborough to play another 10 a.m. start time against the New England Patriots, who are 8-0 at home this season, 6-2 against the spread, absolutely lethal in the divisional round against the number. This Patriot team is the worst version of the Patriots we've seen in quite some time. I don't think they're going to flip a switch and all of a sudden become a juggernaut. But you give them 2 weeks to prepare, you give them home field, you give them a Charger team that has all this travel and jet lag, that's a big advantage, especially in the first half. I think the Patriots come out and get on them early. Remember, we talked about this before. Outside of last week against the Ravens, every big game the Chargers have played this year, they have lost the first quarter. The Rams game, the second Chiefs game, the Seattle game, every big game they have that you go to, they lost the first quarter, they start slow. Except last week. And a lot of that was because Lamar Jackson could not get anything going with the Baltimore offense. Phillip Rivers looked a little questionable in that game. He looked like he was hesitant to pull the trigger. I think he's going to be more aggressive this week. But I think the Patriots get on him early, so I'd lay the two in the first half. And I do think the Patriots get him in the game. This just feels like it's going to be too much for the Chargers to overcome at Gillette. I know Rivers wants to exercise those 2007 demons, but there's so much working against them. And keep this in mind, too. The Chargers are very sloppy on special teams. We talked about this last week. They gave up a fake punt either against Denver or Oakland, and then the following week they gave up a fake punt again. I don't know how that happens. You can get rope-a-doped once, but then the next week to not make the adjustments, that's sloppy. That's a lack of attention to detail. So you had that happen, and then last week they had a field goal blocked, they had a punt blocked. They are really suspect on special teams. And New England, Belichick prides himself on special teams. Belichick got his start on special teams. He loves special teams. He puts more emphasis on it than any coach in the business. I'm not going to be surprised if there's a trick play in this thing. I'm not going to be surprised if New England dominates on special teams and that ends up being the difference. Keep that in mind. I'll lay the 4 with the Patriots for the game. I'll lay the 2 with the Patriots in the first half. The only game we haven't talked about then would be the Rams and the Cowboys. Look, this is a huge spread. It's Rams minus 7, over under 49.5. I know a lot of people like what they saw from Dallas last week. Seattle had an awful game plan in that game. Awful game plan. You don't need me to reiterate it, but Brian Schottenheimer was way too conservative for a playoff game, especially when you have Russell Wilson as your quarterback. The Cowboys on the road this season, 3-5, averaging just 17 points per game. I think Wade Phillips and the Rams defense are going to dial something up for Dak Prescott. They're going to make his life difficult. And if the Rams can come out and score early in this game, Dallas is not built to get into a shootout. Dallas is not built to play from behind. They need to be right there in the game with you, utilizing Ezekiel Elliott, and I think that's going to be a big problem. I know a lot of people think about McVay losing in the playoffs last year. It's a one-game sample size. I think he's going to learn from that and be hungry from that. They've had 2 weeks to get ready for this game. A lot of Cowboy fans will be in L.A. It's going to be a popular six-point teaser play. I'm actually going to lay the 7 with the Rams. I think they're going to come out and make a statement in this game, and I think the Cowboys are probably just happy they got past Seattle. This is going to be a tough matchup for them. As long as Jared Goff is put in a good position, and I think he will be because he's had 2 weeks to get ready, I think the Rams cruise past Dallas here.
Joe, you're the best. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Joe. Enjoy the weekend.
Always a pleasure, boys. Talk to you next week.
All right, pal. That's our guy, Joe Fortenbaugh.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.